This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, and to find out how you can volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Read and recorded by Eric S. Piotrowski, FBESP.org, Madison, Wisconsin, USA. 18th of February, 2006. The Tao Te Ching, or The Tao and Its Characteristics, by Lao Tse. Translated by James Legge. Part 2. Chapters 64 to 72. Chapter 64, Section 1. That which is at rest is easily kept hold of. Before a thing has given indications of its presence, it is easy to take measures against it. That which is brittle is easily broken. That which is very small is easily dispersed. Action should be taken before a thing has made its appearance. Order should be secured before disorder has begun. Chapter 64, Section 2. The tree which fills the arms grew from the tiniest sprout. The tower of 9 stories rose from a small heap of earth. The journey of 1,000 li commenced with a single step. Chapter 64, Section 3. He who acts with an ulterior purpose does harm. He who takes hold of a thing in the same way loses his hold. The sage does not act so, and therefore does no harm. But he does not lay hold so, and therefore he does not lose his hold. But people in their conduct of affairs are constantly ruining them when they are on the eve of success. If they were careful at the end, as they should be at the beginning, they would not so ruin them. Chapter 64, Section 4. Therefore the sage desires what other men do not desire, and does not prize things difficult to get. He learns what other men do not learn, and turns back to what the multitude of men have passed by. Thus he helps the natural development of all things, and does not dare to act with an ulterior purpose of his own. Chapter 65, Section 1. The ancients who showed their skill in practicing the Tao did so not to enlighten the people, but rather to make them simple and ignorant. Chapter 65, Section 2. The difficulty in governing the people arises from their having much knowledge. He who tries to govern a state by his wisdom is a scourge to it, while he who does not try to do so is a blessing. Chapter 65, Section 3. He who knows these 2 things finds in them also his model and rule. Ability to know this model and rule constitutes what we call the mysterious excellence of a governor. Deep and far-reaching is such mysterious excellence, showing indeed its possessor as opposite to others, but leading them to a great conformity to him. Chapter 66, Section 1. That whereby the rivers and seas are able to receive the homage and tribute of all the valley streams is their skill in being lower than they. It is thus that they are the kings of them all. So it is that the sage, ruler, wishing to be above men, puts himself by his words below them, and wishing to be before them, places his person behind them. Chapter 66, Section 2. In this way, though, he has his place above them. Men do not feel his weight, nor, though he has his place before them, do they feel it an injury to them. Chapter 66, Section 3. Therefore, all in the world delight to exalt him and do not weary of him. Because he does not strive, no one finds it possible to strive with him. Chapter 67, Section 1. All the world says that while my Tao is great, it yet appears to be inferior to other systems of teaching. Now it is just its greatness that makes it seem to be inferior. If it were like any other system, for long would its smallness have been known. Chapter 67, Section 2. But I have three precious things which I prize and hold fast. The first is gentleness, the second is economy, and the third is shrinking from taking precedence of others. Chapter 67, Section 3. With that gentleness I can be bold. With that economy I can be liberal. Shrinking from taking precedence of others, I can become a vessel of the highest honor. Nowadays they give up gentleness and are all for being bold, economy and are all for being liberal, the hindmost place, and seek only to be foremost, of all which the end is death. Chapter 67, Section 4. Gentleness is sure to be victorious, even in battle, and firmly to maintain its ground. Heaven will save its possessor by his very gentleness protecting him. Chapter 68. He who endows wars has skill, assumes no martial port. He who fights with most good will, to rage makes no resort. He who vanquishes yet still keeps from his foes apart. He whose hests men most fulfill yet humbly plies his art. Thus we say he ne'er contends, and therein is his might. Thus we say men's wills he bends, that they with him unite. Thus we say like heavens his ends, no sage of old more bright. Chapter 69, Section 1. A master of the art of war has said, I do not dare to be the host to commence the war. I prefer to be the guest to act on the defensive. I do not dare to advance an inch. I prefer to retire a foot. This is called marshalling the ranks where there are no ranks, bearing the arms to fight where there are no arms to bear, grasping the weapon where there is no weapon to grasp, advancing against the enemy where there is no enemy. Chapter 69, Section 2. There is no calamity greater than lightly engaging in war. To do that is near losing the gentleness which is so precious. Thus it is that when opposing weapons are actually crossed, he who deplores the situation conquers. Chapter 70, Section 1. My words are very easy to know, and very easy to practice, but there is no one in the world who is able to know and able to practice them. Chapter 70, Section 2. There is an originating and all-comprehending principle in my words, and an authoritative law for the things which I enforce. It is because they do not know these that men do not know me. Chapter 70, Section 3. They who know me are few, and I am on that account the more to be prized. It is thus that the sage wears a poor garb of hair cloth, while he carries his signet of jade in his bosom. Chapter 71, Section 1. To know and yet think we do not know is the highest attainment. Not to know and yet think we do know is a disease. Chapter 71, Section 2. It is simply by being pained at the thought of having this disease that we are preserved from it. The sage has not the disease. He knows the pain that would be inseparable from it, and therefore he does not have it. Chapter 72, Section 1. When the people do not fear what they ought to fear, that which is their great dread will come on them. Chapter 72, Section 2. Let them not thoughtlessly indulge themselves in their ordinary life. Let them not act as if weary of what that life depends on. Chapter 72, Section 3. It is by avoiding such indulgence that such weariness does not arise. Chapter 72, Section 4. Therefore the sage knows these things of himself, but does not parade his knowledge; loves, but does not appear to set a value on himself. And thus he puts the latter alternative away, and makes choice of the former. End of chapter 72.